Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Plenty to come on the programme in the next hour after 11. E-scooters not allowed on public transport today. We'll debate whether it's a good idea. We'll have parenting advice with Dr. David Coleman. There's still time to get in touch. You can use our WhatsApp number if you want to get in touch with us now. It's 0870 32 32 32 or text us on 51551. And we're going to take a stroll through the best places in Ireland to witness the changing seasons, all on the way after 11 o'clock. Now though, rental scams, landlords selling up, illegal evictions, they're just some of the issues that tenants are facing in the Irish rental market. And today, the housing charity Threshold is launching its Own Your Rights campaign, which aims to help tenants who are facing some of these problems. Alex O'Connor is Senior Advisor with Threshold and he's here with me in the studio. Alex, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Claire.
So it's really important for people to know their rights, because if they get into any of these situations and they end up losing their accommodation, very, very difficult to find somewhere else.
Exactly. It's a really, really difficult housing context at the moment. And what we're seeing from people on the phones as well is it really is coming across. People are feeling the pressure. They don't know their rights. They don't know what they can do to kind of protect themselves and protect their tenancies. So we're really trying to make sure that tenants are aware of their rights and aware that there is support that they can get as well.
Okay. So they can make those calls and they're always welcome to contact you, I know, and other organisations. But you're saying it would be helpful if they knew exactly where they stand.
Exactly. And especially with those aspects around, you know, we've all heard about the notices that are coming through the door. Tenants are feeling very pressured at the moment and they are afraid of their landlords selling up or their landlords moving someone into their property. So we really want tenants to be aware of what a landlord has to do to remove them from the property or to give that notice. There's very clear rules. Although it's very difficult context at the moment, there are protections that tenants have. They're not completely perilous. And so we just want to make sure that tenants are aware of the things that the landlord has to do.
Okay, so is that common then, that you're hearing that a lot of tenants are contacting you because they have been told by their landlord you need to leave?
Absolutely. And that would be one of the main things that we do here. And one of the key things that we have found as well is most of the notices, around 50% that tenants send us, they're actually incorrect. The notice, there are very key things a landlord has to do to give a notice to a tenant. They have to give a letter, in a physical letter. They can't just send a text. They can't just call someone up and tell them they have to leave. They have to actually send them that physical letter, which has to contain a lot of very detailed information. Mm-hmm. And so we're finding that isn't always the case and tenants aren't always getting the full information that they're entitled to.
Okay, so what are you hearing then from tenants? Why are they being told by landlords that they have to leave?
So largely it is because the landlord is selling. It's just a lot of the time we're seeing that the landlord is sending a text or they are having that informal conversation, especially in situations where the tenant has a good relationship with their landlord. There can be a level of informality there that doesn't really respect the protections that tenants have. And, you know, the informality and the positive relationship is great. It's just that the tenant does need to have those protections, right? The landlord does need to respect those protections.
Okay. Now, the landlord can also say, quite rightly, if they wish, that they would like to use the property for a family member, mm-hmm. but the same rules apply, don't they?
Exactly. So the landlord, the landlord will actually have to swear a declaration in front of a solicitor. They have to, it's a very, very formal process. And sometimes what we're seeing is landlords aren't going through that process themselves, or sometimes they are saying that they need the property for a relative and that isn't actually the case. And that's taken very, very seriously by the RTB. It's taken very seriously by us. The RTB are the Residential Tenancies Board and they're the ones who are the kind of the regulator for the sector. Mm-hmm.
So, what happens then when a tenant falls into arrears?
So there is a number of things that a tenant can do when they fall into arrears. I mean, first of all, the landlord has to give them 28 days to pay off the arrears. So they have to give a warning notice, again, in writing to a tenant. They can't just say, you know, I am going to come and change the locks. They can't say that a tenant has to be out by a certain date. They have to give them a certain amount of time to pay off the arrears. And then if the tenant doesn't, they can give a notice of termination. But the key bit there is the tenant does have time to pay off the arrears. They can engage with us. They can engage with the Money Advice and Budgeting Service. There are supports that they can get to pay off.
But you are hearing that tenants are falling into arrears and landlords are saying, you've got to go.
Unfortunately, it is, especially over the past number of years with the cost of living. It is something that is happening more and more often. So we are really encouraging tenants, don't put your head in the sand. You know, when you do, when you notice that you've fallen into arrears, if you aren't able to meet a payment, just make sure that you communicate. Communicate with the landlord, communicate with us, and make sure that you're availing the supports that are.
Okay, and it's useful, I suppose, to have a mediator there between the landlord and the tenant if you do fall into arrears, and if you're genuinely wanting to reach an accommodation and pay that money.
Exactly. And especially, you know, some families will be in very, very difficult situations. There'll be a lot going on for them. Like, there was one client that I had where she just wasn't able to engage. She was a lone parent. Her kids had additional needs. She had got the warning letter in the door, but she just didn't have the capacity to engage. So she came to us when she had that notice in. She hadn't spoken to the landlord. We were able to speak to her. We were able to speak to the landlord, explain the situation, and we were actually able to sustain that tenancy because we set up a payment plan with her and the landlord and got a payment to pay off the arrears in full. And that tenancy is continuing on. That relationship there between her and her landlord is actually really strong.
Okay, which is what you want, because it is so pressurised at the moment. I'm sure people are afraid to raise issues because they know if they leave that property or if the relationship sours, mm-hmm. that it's going to be almost impossible to find somewhere else to live.
Absolutely. And that'd be something that we even hear tenants when they're speaking to us at first, they're slightly nervous about. And that's something that we really want to emphasise. There is no harm in getting advice. There's no harm in looking for that information. You can get the advice. You don't have to escalate it if you don't want to. But it's key to just make sure that you know what options are available to you and you know your rights. Mm-hmm. But of course, people are finding it very, very difficult to raise issues. I suppose we'd like to emphasise as well, tenants aren't powerless in that situation either. If a tenant is raising an issue and landlord turns around and issues a notice, they have to genuinely be selling. They have to genuinely be moving their family member in. If it doesn't appear like that's the case, if they don't actually have that intention, that notice would be incorrect. And again, the RTB and we take that very seriously.
So this campaign then today, Own Your Rights, do you feel that there is a knowledge gap there when it comes to tenants?
Absolutely. And that would be on both the landlords and the tenant side. I mean, it is a very complex sector. It's a very changeable sector as well. We've seen a lot of legislation over the past number of years that change notice periods, that change the requirements for service. One of the key things with that as well, tenants can hear things in the media and think that they're in place, but not necessarily be protected yet. So we've heard of this tenant first right of purchase scheme that may be coming down the tracks. That's not actually in place yet, but sometimes we'll have tenants approach us thinking that that's already there. There's a lot of very complex changes that tenants kind of think have gone through, but that haven't necessarily. So it's important for tenants to get advice.
So where do you advise tenants and landlords to go mm-hmm. to find out what the right information is?
So the RTB, the Residential Tenancies Board, have the template letters and have the kind of outlines for what needs to be done to serve a notice. So they've got the most up-to-date versions of those on their website. For tenants, they can always contact us. For landlords, there's the Irish Property Owners Association. And also, when a landlord is serving a notice, a lot of the time they'll need to speak to a solicitor anyway. They'll need to get that document witnessed. So they can always seek proper, you know, comprehensive legal advice from their from the legal representative.
Something else I want to talk to you about now is scams, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of them happening. So tell us how they work, what people are doing, and are people falling for them?
Absolutely. And especially with the context, it's something that we are seeing more and more. We run a yearly campaign called Scam Watch with ICOS, the Irish Council for Students. And it is just something that we're seeing, especially around when the universities come back, that people from outside of Dublin, people who aren't from the country, they will not be fully aware of what to look out for. So there's a number of key things that we'd really encourage people to look for. Make sure that they are doing a viewing in person. Make sure that before they're handing over any money, they do that by a secure payment method, so that they do it by bank transfer. And key to everything is to trust their instincts and don't do anything. Don't feel pressured into doing anything. Obviously, in a very pressured sector, that can be quite difficult. But if a prospective landlord or a prospective new tenant is saying that you need to sign something immediately and not giving you that breathing space to consider everything, that's a red flag, and that's something to really, you know, take a step back and consider.
You mentioned there that you should see the property in person, mm-hmm. but we have heard of scams where people do that, mm-hmm. and you might have 50 people paying a deposit on the same night. Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we have seen. It is, in some of the more sophisticated scams, it can be quite difficult because those red flags aren't necessarily there. Recently, I had a client actually who did attend a viewing. They went, it looked like they had access to the property. They did pay that deposit. And then when they went on the day that they were expecting to move in, the landlord stopped answering the phone. Now, what we could have done in that situation is, Rachel, we have ways of looking at who owns the property. So we can sometimes, in some cases, check to see if the person who the client is speaking to is the actual genuine registered owner. But in some cases, especially the more sophisticated ones, it can be more difficult. And that's why we'd recommend using those secure payments. Thankfully, in that situation, the client had actually used their bank to transfer that through. So they were able to, you know, to contact their bank and also contact.
So you can get the money back in that instance if you do a bank transfer.
You can certainly engage a bit more intensively with them, and it'll also show the details of the, you know, the guards will be able to follow up with the details of the account that you sent that money to. So it is more secure.
So what is your advice on when you should hand the money over?
I suppose if you have, you know, unfortunately the way the market is, it is frequent that you pay a deposit in advance.
Yeah.
But again, the key thing is that you've that secure payment, and make sure that you're doing it once you've actually seen the property in person. It would be helpful if you do have, you know, severe concerns, it would be helpful if you're doing it at the time that you do get the keys. But it's, I suppose, the most important thing is to trust your instincts with it as well.
Yeah, and there is a lot of, I mean, trust your instincts, but there is a large element of trust across the board here, isn't there?
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, it is a crime to defraud people this way. So there are avenues, you know, unfortunately, if you are in the unfortunate situation that does happen to you, you know, that does have a huge impact on you. But there are those avenues to proceed.
Okay, a question from a listener who would like to know about tenants' rights who are renting under the rent-a-room scheme.
And so that is a very difficult situation to be in, because right now, people who are living with their landlords, they're not covered by the general tenant legislation. They're a separate category called licensees. And usually the rights that they have are just what's contained in their contract. Now, what we have seen is situations where it's an alleged rent-a-room scheme, but the landlord isn't living there, the landlord's relative isn't living there. They're actually really tenants. So it can be a bit confusing on both sides of what rights apply in a particular situation. But if a tenant is living purely with other tenants, it's almost certainly a tenancy, regardless of the way that it's been presented.
Okay, but if you are renting a room and the owner of the property is in that home with you, you have very little rights. Would I be right in saying that?
Very few rights. You would have very few rights. It is something that we continue to advocate for, to advocate to change, because there are very, very few protections there for licensees en masse. So it does really depend on what's in the contract. And again, if people have concerns, they can, you know, they should review those.
Okay, and rent increases then, Alex. Do you get many queries from tenants on rent increases?
Absolutely. And again, especially in the, you know, the context that we're living at the moment with the cost of living, it can be a very, 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 very detrimental to families. So one of the things that is in place there are things called rent pressure zones. So in a lot of the country right now, there are very, very clear and strict rules about how the landlord can increase the rent and how much they can increase the rent. So they need to give at least 90 days notice. They need to give a letter again to that tenant, a physical letter, and they can only increase the rent by 2% per year. So that's a very, very key,
okay,
you know.
Strict rules around that as well. And if anyone wants more information, threshold.ie is the website to go to. And you can also give them a call. They have a free phone number, which is 1-800-454-454. Alex, thank you very much for coming into us. We will take a break.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.